Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's Kevin Sheehan on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Are you ready?
You know, I haven't mentioned this morning, but I did see this yesterday. Bob Ferry, who was the Washington Bullets general manager for their lone NBA title back in 1978, passed away yesterday at the age of 84. He ran the Bullets before they became the Wizards over a 17-year run as the team's general manager and was one of the best general managers in the sport. The Bullets made the finals three times when he was the general manager and made the playoffs 21 of the 31 seasons that he coached. He was terrific. He's Danny Ferry's father. Most of you from this area know that. Bob Ferry was, you know, significant in the community long after he was the general manager here in Washington. But without question, the greatest general manager in the team's history. And by the way, you know, hired Casey Jones, you know, in the 1973 season. You know, people think about, you know, this particular sport and the number of black head coaches over the years. In the early 1970s, Casey Jones was the head coach hired by Bob Ferry and Abe Pollin. And in the 1975 NBA Finals, between the Bullets and the Golden State Warriors, which is still considered to be the biggest upset odds-wise in an NBA Finals, it was Al Attles coaching Golden State and Casey Jones coaching the Bullets in 1975. The Warriors swept the Bullets 4-0. Tim Legler joins us right now. I was a kid. I was so into the Bullets. I've always been a massive, as you know, Bullets and Wizards fan. That was devastating. They got absolutely run out of the building four straight nights by Rick Barry and company. You're old enough to sort of remember that.
Yeah,
what do you remember
yeah,
about those teams and Bob Ferry?
Not as much that team. Like, I really didn't get into basketball because I was about, I guess, 8 or 9 years old. But those the 78, 79 teams, that's when I started to kind of get into hoops. And Elvin Hayes was my very first favorite athlete of all time. So I remember vividly, you know, first time I ever remember crying over a team I loved losing was the Bullets, you know, losing to Seattle. So, yeah, and I didn't know Bob Ferry well, but I got to know Danny pretty well over the years. So, you know, rest in peace, man. It's you thought you broke that down very well, his impact on the organization.
You know, the those years when they beat Seattle and then lost to Seattle, oh, my God, those games at the Capitol Center, Tim, I mean, people would have no idea. David Aldridge, I think, wrote, you know, has written about it many times. That building, as ugly as it was so loud, and it was so great for those years. And by the way, Elvin Hayes, for me, I don't think we've ever talked about it, was one of my first absolute, you know, favorite players in sports. I would sit in, you know, one of the neighbors' backyards where everybody would convene to play hoops because they had hoop, and I would back people down and scream E, and then try to hit that fadeaway.
That was my first jersey I ever had, and of course I was born into a season ticket holder Redskins family, and I love those teams and games. But the very first sports jersey I ever owned was an Elvin Hayes jersey. I remember vividly taking it to my first basketball camp I ever went to, and I wore it all week. And he was my guy. And I get to finish a note on that. I get to do this Sirius XM NBA radio hosting a couple days a week. Interviewed Elvin Hayes last week, which was he has no idea probably. I tried to explain it to him how much that meant to me, getting the opportunity to talk to him and interview him. And I will go down fighting on this. I still think Elvin Hayes is arguably one of the five most underrated players in the history of the league. Like, he was that dominant. And when you go back and look at his college numbers and look at what he accomplished in college, including playing in one of the most famous college basketball games of all time against UCLA, yep. Lou Alcindor, and breaking their 47-game winning streak at the Houston Astrodome, by the way, in front of 60,000 people. It was called the Game of the Century. And Elvin Hayes had like 38 points or something crazy in that game against Lou Alcindor in that upset win against a team that had won 47 straight games. So we could go on and on and on about the history of the Bullets Wizards organization. I grew up loving them too, but I had a chance to talk to Elvin Hayes last week, man. It was really cool.
That's phenomenal. I've tried to get him on the show in the past, have never been successful in doing it. But I've said the same thing many times when I've had this conversation. Do you know that Elvin Hayes, and I'm trying to pull up the numbers real quickly on Basketball Reference, I know all-time rebounds, he's still in, I think, the top five. He might be just outside the top five of all-time rebounders. And up until recently, when I know Carmelo Anthony passed him, he was still like top 12 all-time points scored. He is criminally underrated in the conversation of the greatest power forwards of all time.
Yeah, definitely. And I there's another big that played for Washington later in his career, but I think Moses Malone, it will go down as one of the most underrated players in NBA history, because when you start talking about, you pick five, I pick five, let's go play a game, all-time players, you think of these centers, and there's been so many great ones and legendary names. You give me Moses Malone, if I tell you I'll take Moses and you take the field and we'll go play a game, I'm going to be okay. I'll be okay with Moses and Elvin Hayes at the four. I will hold my own with those two guys. And but look, they're on lists and their names come up. And that's why we had Elvin on. We were talking about the 70 top 75 at 75. And that's why, we started talking to him. And he's such a humble man. And it was one of my great honors I've had in this industry in 20 years was getting a chance to interview one of my childhood heroes.
Oh, that's awesome. Phil Chenier's been on the show so many times over the years, and we've talked about Elvin Hayes here and there. He was not an easy teammate. You know that, right? I mean,
he was not
an easy teammate at all. I just pulled up the numbers, by the way. Number six all-time on all-time rebounder. And by the way, those are NBA, ABA combined numbers. So the players that played in the ABA, their numbers count, Dr. J, et cetera. And then scoring, he's still 13th all-time on the scoring list. And he was an iron man like none other. I mean, he never, ever missed games. By the way, I agree with you on Moses, but I've always said this, and people have said, well, he's not underrated. But I think in the center conversation for me, underrated has always been Olajuwon. I know Olajuwon, recognizes the greatness of Olajuwon, but I think he never is mentioned in like the top three or four centers, and I think he deserves to be there.
To that point, I think you're probably right when you talk about stuff you might watch on TV and so-called experts having these kinds of discussions. But I'm telling you, all my hoop heads, when we start talking hoops and sit around having some beers talking about these kind of conversations, he more than gets his respect in those kinds of conversations. But yeah, you're right. When you talk about the center list, he gets left off, and so does Moses. And you're always going to go Wilt, Kareem, Russell, those guys. Shaq, even, I think, gets more respect in those conversations than either one of those two guys.
All right. We will circle back to a basketball conversation here shortly, but I know that you would prefer to talk about the 2-5 Washington football team. So what's been your biggest frustration so far through 7 weeks?
Oh, my goodness, man. I don't know where to begin. I will tell you this, relative to my expectations, and I'm not saying I thought we were going 10-6. The schedule I knew was going to be really rough. I don't even know. I said to people, we might be better and have the same record or worse than we did a year ago. I really expected that going in. So when I say my level of expectations. I wasn't unrealistic. Relative to my expectations, this is the most disappointing team that I can remember following in all my years, because it's the lack of competitiveness and adjustments defensively, and their secondary, the tackling, the schemes, the open space that seemingly every receiver and every route runner has is disgusting to me. And there's no other word for it. And I think it's contributed greatly to some of the issues that Taylor Heinicke has had. Because, you know, I really like Heinicke. Yeah. I think what's happened with him, a couple things. One, he realized that this is like his one shot to solidify himself as a starting quarterback in the NFL. So I think he's been carrying that pressure around. But early on, he still had that I got nothing to lose mentality. And he was playing free, and he was still kind of slinging it around a little bit. And I think over time what happens is, Kevin, every time you run on a field as a quarterback and your team just got scored on, I just think it starts to make you try to do things you're incapable of, and you're trying to force things that aren't there, and you're trying to make the big play. And he threw some bad picks. And once he did that, I believe the coaching staff lost some confidence in him. He felt that. He's lost confidence. He's tight now. I mean, he finally started running again last game after, you know, I don't know what was going on in the check down game against Kansas City was just embarrassing. But I think the defense has really affected his psyche and his play, and he's lost confidence. So we're not getting great quarterback play either. But for me, top of the list, without question, is the laughable pass coverage that you see out of this team virtually on every snap. The third down conversion rate is embarrassing. I'm certain that you and I could go out there right now and play corner on each side of the field and have a better chance at least being in the area on some of these third down throws that quarterbacks are converting against us like so easily. You know, that's frustrating. Chase Young, you know, I sit there and watch Chase Young every week, Kevin, and I say, is he ever going to do anything besides speed rush the edge? Is that every snap, Chase? Every single snap, you're going to try to go as fast as you can up the field and try to get around the outside of the tackle. And they just bump you. They knock you behind the quarterback. They step up into the pocket. They deliver the ball, or they run through that gap for 10 or 15 yards on a critical play. Like, are you ever going to stunt, spin, swim, something different, man? It's getting frustrating for me because it's like he's obsessed with trying to turn the edge and get a sack. What's he got, two all year? So his impact on the game is non-existent. It's been really frustrating, man. Every aspect of the team, but I would say the defense far more than any other component to this team. It's just made me sick watching them. You just know what's about to happen on third down. You know it in your gut. You have no chance of getting this team off the field.
It's what's surprising is that, and I don't know how you feel, but the last 2 weeks, and it's pathetic to say this, and I've acknowledged that, but the last 2 weeks have actually been better than the first 5 weeks, and it's still that, you know, teams in the last 2 weeks have converted 17 of 28 against them on third down, and yet for whatever reason it seemed better. I want to get back to Heinicke. We're talking to Tim Legler, of course, from ESPN. Tim is a massive, as many of you know, massive Washington Football Team fan. So I want to come back to Heinicke and debate you a little bit on Heinicke, and we'll get there in a minute. But I totally agree with you on Chase Young. And let me preface what I'm going to say, because I've done it before with everybody else. I'll do it with you. He's been far from the worst defensive player on the field. Like, it's not, you know, I can name six other players that play a lot of snaps that have been worse than Chase Young's been this year. But stop telling me from Pro Football Focus numbers or other analytics numbers that Chase Young's actually, you don't see it, he's having a good season. He's not having a good season. He's not having a good season at all.
And you said it. And look,
you can't name any impact play other than that one strip fumble on Jameis. That's it.
No, I completely agree. And there's been you know, like untimely penalties thrown in there as well. But for me, I don't want anybody to tell me that, because look, I know I'm not a quote football expert, but I know enough about the game, and I watch every snap, and I've been in I've been at every one of those home games, which has not been easy with the NBA season starting up. And you and I haven't even talked about this. My wife and I are expecting a son Thanksgiving weekend. So I got a pregnant wife at home, and I'm still getting down to these games in this horrific environment. And I still go. I've been to all four home games, and I'm watching every snap. And there's times when I literally just watch him. I just watch Chase on a particular snap because I'm trying to figure out, like, what is going on? After the Chargers game, they said, oh, well, teams have adjusted because of the pass rush last year and the success the line had, and now they're getting the ball out quicker, and it's negating that pass rush. And, okay, maybe Herbert was doing that, and the pass rush has actually gotten better since the first couple of weeks. I will agree with that. But his lack of impact, because, Kevin, he's not getting double teamed a lot.
I agree. Last 2 weeks, much more. But in some of those games, the discussion about him getting doubled and chipped, I'm like, really? I just went back and watched the game. I can find like two or three instances. John Allen got doubled in some of these games more than he did.
Completely. And I'm smart enough to understand the impact, because I talk about this on a basketball court all the time. I just did a breakdown yesterday on why I think Steph Curry is going to be the MVP of the league this year. And it's because the amount of people he occupies, okay, on possessions when he doesn't shoot it, when he's running up the floor, and the way the defense, the gravitational pull that he has toward him as he's coming up the floor, as he's moving around, and guys are looking at him and communicating where he's at because of the threat he is. And next thing you know, they're playing 3-on-2 on the weak side, and Otto Porter is getting a wide-open jumper. That roster is not good enough to be undefeated. They're not. And if they stay top four in the West waiting for Clay, and then they're going to stay there when he gets back, clearly, and they become an actual contender, Steph Curry is going to be the MVP. And my point there is, I'm smart enough to know when guys occupy what that does for other people and the value in that. I watch every snap with this team. Chase Young is not getting double teamed very often, and he's still not getting there because he does the same thing on every snap. He tries to get around the edge.
I think Sunday there was much more of a plan for him. I think the Chiefs game, there was a plan for him. I don't think it's been that way in every game. I would agree with you that the reason he's not getting results is because somehow every single team is doubling and chipping him. I don't see it in every game. I want to move back to Heinicke real quickly, because I know you were a fan. Tim, he's an NFL backup quarterback. He's not the answer.
Look, you're right. You're right. Okay, he's been exposed during this stretch. I agree with you on that. I think he could be a hell of a backup, and he can win games as a starter. I believe that. And my point all along was, I was much more willing to roll the dice with him than I would have been with Ryan Fitzpatrick. I just would have been. Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't do anything for me. Look up Ryan Fitzpatrick's numbers. They're not that different than Jay Cutler. So people that got all excited about Fitzmagic and all this garbage, and he's going to sling it. No, he would have gotten murdered in the first game. But it would have happened eventually, because he doesn't have the mobility for what that offensive line has given up. So I was willing to go with Heinicke, and I agree. His arm isn't quite strong enough. He's not big enough. But I do think, I really think, you wouldn't be, maybe scrutinizing him the way you are, or maybe a lot of people are, if defensively they kept him in games and gave him a chance where he's coming out on the field not feeling like this drive has to result in points. Because I think that's where his mind was for a while. And then he got the other way, ultra conservative, where every ball was thrown within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage against Kansas City, and he was terrified to run. And now you got this guy that's like all bottled up. I thought he bounced back pretty well against Green Bay, although, I mean, the ineptitude in the red zone is probably unprecedented to have 3 first downs inside the 10-yard line and not get a point. I don't know if it's ever happened in NFL history. And I don't blame him totally for that. It was a stupid play diving for no reason on the goal line, but I just think that the defense and the coaching staff probably have bottled him up a little bit. And his main asset was swagger, cockiness, confidence, nothing to lose. I'm going to come out here and play free. And I think that's gone now. Now he's tight. His opportunity probably in his mind he sees as he blew it. He didn't make the most of this to solidify himself as a starter going forward.
I think he solidified himself as an NFL backup. And maybe with this group, I mean, what do you want in a backup? You want a guy that, first of all, believes that he belongs, is fearless, can make plays, and he can do all that. The issue is he doesn't have an NFL starting arm. His accuracy is very inconsistent. And those things you probably aren't going to fix at 28 years old. You know, even the game context, which I agree with you, there's been the results would have more likely than not been more encouraging had the defense been what it was supposed to be or something resembling what it was supposed to be. But the bottom line is what we've seen now enough of is we've seen a guy that just can't throw an out. Can't throw, throw people open. His accuracy issues are problematic in terms of making his receivers go up and catch balls high. There's not enough yards after catch with him, but he's a backup. Which leads me to this. Ultimately, none of the I shouldn't bury the lead. The lead is that Tim Legler may be the only person that's been to all four home games. How about that?
Well, listen,
Legler's the guy. You're the one.
As a person down there, I can tell you for a fact I'm the only person that's been at all four home games because I don't recognize a single person from week to week. So, and they're sitting near me.
I don't know why you're putting yourself through that, but beside that, the bottom line is, as long as the Snyders are involved, the only way out of this thing is to find and hit it on a quarterback like Cincinnati did with Burrow, like Indianapolis did with the Ursays with Peyton Manning back in 1998. And, it's just not easy. It's not like there's a quarterback tree where you can go pick the best-looking one off of it. They're going to have to figure out how to get that thing answered, and they don't have it on their team right now.
No, I agree with that. And I think, nobody likes to play the hindsight game, but I mean, I think based on what we've seen now, is it fair to say if you could do it again and you would 100% choose Justin Herbert instead of Chase Young?
Of course.
Yeah, right.
Last year we had that conversation, but in the moment I didn't think Herbert. No one was thinking
no,
Herbert.
No, I didn't either. I didn't either. It's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate because he was there and you're going to look at that forever, and you're going to go, man, because sometimes, in certain drafts, you draft that high, you don't have an opportunity, or the guy that does get picked is a bust, or he's not a very good quarterback, and here, this guy was there, and, like most teams in the league, probably we didn't identify that, or else that could have been a game changer.
I like that they were aggressive going after Stafford. I would have been even more aggressive going after Stafford. All right, real quickly, because you got to run, and I've got another guest coming up. What do you think of the Wizards' start so far?
I really like what I see. And last night, you talk about encouraging, man. Winning a game in which Bradley Beal shoots like that, and Kuzma really wasn't great last night offensively. When you think they're the two guys most nights you got to have, and they didn't play well, and they win in Boston on a night like that, man, is that encouraging. I just like the way they're playing. I like they look like they've got pretty good chemistry. I mean, Harrell was great last night, obviously, but so far – so good, man. I'm excited. I'm excited about what I've seen out of them.
Don't you love Harrell? Didn't you love him like I did when he was in L.A. playing for the Clippers
that
year?
Absolutely, man. He was probably at that season. He was probably the most relentless player in the league. Just flat out, undeniable. Like he just would not be denied on the glass and the intensity he plays with and impact that has on your team. I love him. It's a great addition, and I'm really just liking what I'm seeing out of this rotation.
Do you think that they are, in the before the season started, I think most people had them outside the top eight in the East. Do you think they're a top eight East team now after four games, just watching them in the mix?
Yeah, I do. Right now they are. I mean, I think there's like teams that are just right now kind of works in progress. But yeah, if you ask me to predict what these teams are going to look like in 2 months and look at them, I think they are. I think they're still going to be top eight at that time. But it's very, very early. They can't really withstand an injury to one of their main scorers. or something like that would really derail them. They don't have great depth of scoring. But I personally, you know, look at that team and I say, wow, this, what an interesting story. There are some teams this year that have kind of turned that corner, like Charlotte, Chicago, Washington. All three of those teams are fun and they're interesting, and I think they're legit.
Last one. I think you and I agreed on this because I think we talked about it either on the air or off the air. As much as we were both Russell Westbrook fans, we'd come to the conclusion that you're not going to do anything in the postseason with him. I did not think this was going to work out with him in L.A. He had a good game last night. He had a good game the other night. I'm not saying this because the Lakers have started off 2-3, but I don't think that they're the best team in the West. I don't think they're anywhere near it. What do you think?
No, I agree with that right now. I mean, again, they're one of those teams also.
Projected.
Yeah. I think they're going to have to ultimately do something completely different with how they play him and LeBron. I almost think they're going to have to eventually bring him off the bench if you really want to think they're going to win the title. He can't be out there on the court as many minutes as they expect him to be with LeBron. He's just going to be a train wreck offensively. He'll never be in rhythm, and he's not a rhythm player as it is. His efficiency, I predicted he's going to have the lowest field goal, free throw, and three-point percentage of his career this year unless they make that adjustment. I mean, you know he's going to close the game with him, but you got to figure out a way to let him be the energizer when LeBron's off the floor as much as possible to give him a chance to be himself. Because otherwise, you're going to have a whole lot of nights where he's going to try to make the game happen every time he touches it because he's the third option. And when that happens, you see how disastrous it gets with his turnovers, his forced shots, his bad decisions, and then the frustration and the anger come out. So to me, they've got to really manage how they use him.
10 turnovers last night in the blown lead against a terrible team in Oklahoma City. I appreciate this. Congrats. I wish you and your wife and everybody great health over the next month. Good luck with that. We'll talk soon.
All right, Kev. Thanks, man.
Tim Legler, everybody. Paul Charchian next. Kevin Sheehan Show. Team 980, theteam980.com. We are also on the Odyssey app.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!